You know, after Easter, Jesus remained on the earth for 40 more days, and he went around talking about the gospel, and he encouraged us, you know, to hold fast to our faith. And he also encouraged that the Holy Spirit was going to come. Remember, he said, it's better that I go so that a greater one, the anointed one, can come within you, the one who will equip you so that you can be strengthened. He can be your standby, your helper, your, you know, whatever you have need of. He's going to be on the inside to help you. And then to share the gospel, the good news, that he gave us a charge before he was caught up into heaven. And so I was just thinking about how close we are. You know, there's much talk, and I'm not here to talk about the signs and the wonders in heaven. And, of course, I was looking at it today, but there's signs and wonders. And lots of people are trying to interpret, and I'm not here to try to do that because that's not my job. You get in the holy, in the presence of the Lord and in the Bible and find out what the Lord wants to say to you about it. But the Word says that there will be signs and wonders in the heaven, and there'll be waters that'll cover the earth, and then my coming will be, look up, your redemption draws nigh. And so we can see that there's things, there's signs, there's evidence of his coming. It's coming soon. And so we need to be prepared. And what is our job? Our job is to be sharing the gospel, right? But I keep thinking, God, how can we help people be more equipped? And that's our job as pastors, how do we equip you all and each other to be enabled disciples to go out when people are still dealing with issues in their own lives, right? And all of us can say, yes, that's me, I've got issues. And how do we become more disciple-oriented and people-oriented if we're very self-consumed? And all of us can say, yep, that's me. And so I want to just touch on something that we've taught on it before, but I want to kind of delve into it a little deeper. But I want to talk about facts versus truth tonight. And I want to start with my main text is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And you guys know this. We probably can all quote it. And we kind of focus on the part where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. But what I want to focus on tonight is, in all your ways, acknowledge him. I want to focus on the acknowledgement of him. And follow with me, if you will. So there was a man named Raymond T. Ritchie. He had a healing ministry. And someone asked him, he talked a lot about faith. Someone asked him, what is faith? And he said, faith is acting like the word is true. And so if faith is acting like the word is true, then I think we need to know what the word says about our circumstances and our situations, right? So what's the difference in truth and facts? Facts are when you go to the doctor and you get a bad report and you've got some things that are going on in your life. Facts are you have some financial needs and some issues that are going on. Facts are you've got maybe some relational issues and there's some needs, some evidence of some things that need to change. Facts are maybe you need some direction in your life. Maybe there's some things that are going on with your kids that they're just not really right and you're believing God. Those are the facts. But the truth is what the word says. The truth is the word. There's a scripture that talks about that the truth of the word is the plumb line. It's like Pastor Steve referred to it, I think, on, was it Sunday? You talked about, what was it you said, a line or a level? Yes, that the word is like a level. You use a level to make it straight, to make it right. You don't just eyeball it. You use something to make it right. And the word, the truth of the word is the plumb line that we set our course with, we set our lives with. There's a lot of factual things out there right now in the internet, social media. You know, we were talking this morning, I think it was, that Pastor C was saying that he saw there's like 1,500 times you can choose in the day. You can make a decision, right? If you're on social media, deciding what's right and what's wrong. Every time you make a swipe on your phone, you're making a decision, whether you believe it or not. Oh, whether you believe it or not, and you're making a comparison to yourself. So not only are you receiving information, facts. You're deciding whether you believe it, and then you're comparing yourself to it. You're deciding whether this is applicable to your life or applicable to your life, right? And so, you know, that's why there's so much information out there right now, is because we're being doused with it to change the course of our lives. How many know on on Sunday we had a couple of things happen while we were singing there? That little green, precious little green box in the front had music coming out of it automatically that just came on. And I don't know if you saw our faces, but we were singing and we were hearing somebody else sing at the same time. So we made the choice to focus our attention on what we were singing and what we were giving out rather than that noise that was going on in front of us. Then there was the lovely truck that had the motor going on the other side that was very loud. And it was probably worse for us because it was coming at us than it was for you. I know it was, because I went out in the audience and Pastor Steve felt like he had to yell to hear himself. And that was a distraction. He had to make the decision to set his attention and acknowledge what was on the inside to give that out rather than acknowledge what was coming at him, right? And so what I want to talk about is there's facts and there's truth, and you've got to make a decision what you're going to acknowledge. And we're going to talk about it with Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, okay? So everything that's not of the word are facts. It changes. Your facts can change day to day, right? Truth never changes. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Jesus and his word are one. His word never changes. No matter what your circumstances are, the word of God is the truth, and it'll never change, right? Your facts will change, yes, but the truth will not. Symptoms are facts. Financial difficulties are facts. But what's the truth about them? So you need to find out what the truth is about your circumstances, that my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory, that he took the stripes upon his back so that I could be healed, and so on and so on. But you've got to get in the word and find out what the word says. Truth always trumps the facts. Truth always trumps the facts. It's not doubt to speak about the facts as long as you're holding on to the truth. I've had people tell me, if I go to pray for somebody and they're like, well, I don't want to repeat it. Well, just give me the symptoms of what you're dealing with so we know how to apply our faith and how to apply the truth. How we lay the truth on, we replace the facts with the truth. Just like when Casey was dealing with some things with the cancer, and then recently she had some flags, I'll just put it that way, because of inflammation in her body. So she had to go back and get some testing, and she said, I'm not giving this voice. I love that. I'm not giving this attention. I'm not acknowledging this. Now, she didn't ignore it. Truth doesn't ignore things. It applies the truth. It doesn't ignore what's going on. It applies the truth. You have to confront it with the truth. You can't just ignore and just not go and just say, well, forget it. You've got to deal with it. And she did. She went to the doctor, found out some things, and found out she's still cancer-free. Praise God. So it's not wrong to mention the facts, but the truth still prevails. You have to know the facts so you know what to do to lay hold on the truth. You know, let you know how to pray, what truths to apply to the circumstances. So faith calls those things that be not as though they were. It does not call those things that be as though they're not. You see what I'm saying? There might be some things that be, and you don't just call it as it's not. Faith calls those things that be not as though they were. You call it into existence, right? Okay, so faith is not an ignore button. We don't ignore things, like I said. Paul even said, he said, we're pressed but not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned. What was the other one? Struck down but not destroyed. He said, we've got these issues, but we're not destroyed. We're this, but we're not abandoned. We're pressed down, but we're not crushed. He acknowledged there was a fact, but the truth is, this is the truth. We're not destroyed. So Jesus, when he walked into situations of death, he talked to them like they were alive. Have you ever noticed that? When he walked in and they were already dead, Lazarus had been dead for 3 days. Did he go in and say, well, he's dead? No, what did he do? He acted like he was still alive, and he said, Lazarus, spoke his name, come forth. He spoke life. He spoke truth, and he came forth. He didn't go in and dilly-dally with the death. He didn't dilly-dally with facts. He spoke the truth. He spoke to them. So what wasn't, he spoke to it as though it was. You got it? So faith is acting like the word is true, not the facts are true. Faith is acting like the truth is truth. When you see a fact that needs change, speak the truth over it. So how many of us have some facts in our life? You guys get what I'm saying when I talk about facts, some circumstantial evidence. So I heard a story about Brother Copeland's mom. I don't know if y'all know, but she was an amazing teacher in her day. She's probably the reason why Brother Copeland's been so successful. But she was a prayer warrior, and she had Bible studies, and people would have to reserve their spot to be in her house because she only had limited spaces. And she operated in the gifts. She spoke over people and prayed over people, and was a phenomenal woman, a minister in her time. And there was a man who came up to her who had heart trouble. And he told her, he said, well, you know, last week I had this happen. And she said, well, tell me the truth about it. And so he went back and said, well, last week I had this happen and this happened. And then she goes, tell me the truth about it. And so he repeated it again, and she hit him in the forehead and said, tell me the truth about it. What she was trying to get him to say is, what does the word say about your circumstances? What's the truth about your facts? I know what you've told me what the doctors have said, and I know we have health people here, and I'm not coming against anything y'all are doing. What I'm saying is we can bring our faith into what we're doing and speak the truth over our circumstances and help people with this. I think you guys are phenomenal. It's an amazing place where you are. So it matters what you follow the truth up with. It matters what you follow the truth up with. So you your faith acts. It's a doer of the word, not just a hearer only. You've got to act on your faith. So if you spend all your life talking about facts, you'll never experience the manifestation of the truth. If all you're talking about is your circumstances, your pain, your issues, your lack of finances, your lack of relational issues, if you talk the problem is what's going to manifest. You'll never experience the manifestation of the truth in your life. If your focus is always on your problem, always on your circumstances, always talking the problem, what are you talking about? What you're talking about is what's going to manifest. Amen? Okay, so it's a fact that three men in Daniel 3 were thrown into a fiery furnace. And it's a fact that they should have melted anywhere close to that fiery furnace. What was it, 7 times hotter? And the men who threw them in did die because of how hot the heat was. But the truth was their eyes were on Jesus, and they went in praising and thanking God that he would deliver them. And guess what? The truth came through, and the fourth man, Jesus, was in the fiery furnace. And what was the result of the truth? A whole nation was turned to God because they believed the truth over the facts, right? So this is where we need to be with our believing in the truth of God. Amen? The facts became truth and turned a whole nation around to serve God. So we can become very skillful at holding on to the truth and not even noticing the facts. Let me say that again. We can be very skillful. This is a skill that we can have developed in our life. So we start noticing the truth more than we notice the facts. The facts may come to us, but what is our attention set on? My first car was a Honda Prelude, an 81 Honda Prelude, and I owned it for 1 month. I ended up pulling out in front of somebody. That wasn't the point, but it was a stick shift. And so, you know, I'm 17 years old, and my mom buys me a stick shift. So guess what? I had to learn how to drive the stick shift. So my first few times, and there are hills in Tulsa, and some of those hills were fun. You know, when you're driving stick shift, it's like chicka 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 chicka, you know, getting through. I know it's not supposed to, but you know what I'm saying. You're learning how to shift and do the foot thing, and you know, Now I can get in one and don't not even think. I can have a hamburger in one hand and a Coke in the other and put my mascara on and shifting and staring. And boy, do I ever do that, my husband said. It's easy. I am very skilled now at driving a stick shift. I can't say it, but I can do it. So my point is, though, is we have to become skillful at recognizing when facts come at us, what are we thinking about at this moment? We have an opportunity to allow this fact to come in and dominate and accept it and start talking about it and giving it voice and letting it become bigger than life and letting it dominate our life. Or we can say, wait a minute, what does the truth say about my circumstances right now? What does the truth say? I had the opportunity to do this, and I'm going to just reveal myself a little bit. A couple years ago, we had some people leave the church. It was very challenging for me. They left offended, basically. And I had the challenge of, because it was me, it wasn't my husband, it was me they got offended over. And for whatever reason, but I'm telling you the backstory because it haunted me for a long time. The circumstances just, it was all wrong, but it haunted me and it had me. And I kept focusing on the words that they said and the attitudes and the things, the facts that came at me. And the Holy Spirit started ministering to me and he said, you cannot entertain those facts and the truth at the same time. When you are meditating and thinking on what they said, you are not fellowshipping with me any longer. You cannot meditate on truths and facts together. They do not coexist. You can only focus on one or the other. And so I had to make a decision to replace those lies, because they're lies, with the truth of the Word of God. And the moment I did, you know what helped me get set free from it? All the heaviness was gone. There was a release of things. And I'm telling you this because all of us have to do this. This isn't just one or two people. This is every one of us. No matter where we are in life, no matter where we are spiritually, no matter who we are, we have to deal with facts that come at us, circumstantial evidence, and then we have to know what to do. We have to be skillful at driving the car. We have to be able to hold a hamburger and a Coke at the same time and go, oh, I recognize this face. This is the devil. I know what I can say. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The greater one's on the inside of me. I know what God's called me to do. I know the anointing is on my life, and I'm shifting gears out of this place because I'm not staying in this place of offense, because that's exactly what it is. Because someone else's offense can become my offense if I entertain it long enough. You get what I'm saying? And so I can't focus on the facts and the truth at the same time. I have to choose. So we're not encouraging you to eat and drive and not steer and put your makeup on. Anyways, and that's something else the Holy Spirit actually has dealt with me over. He's like, you can't put your makeup on while you're driving. What if you wrecked this car? You would feel really bad over makeup. So I'm already dealt with. A warning sign in the back. Warning, this, instead of a baby's on board, a makeup-wearing woman is on board, or a makeup-applying woman, right? So, okay. So we can become very skillful at holding to the truth and not even noticing facts so much. So now my focus is so much on the truth and what God's called me to do and where my focus is on now that when offenses and things come my way, I'm no big deal. How many know your iPhone or your Droid or whatever it is you have has specific settings on it? The other day I was trying to make a payment on our toll bill, and I've tried to make this payment about 3 times. And then I'll get sidetracked and I'll forget and it'll come back, and now I've got late fees 3 different times. So finally I had time to call the lady on it, and I said, why is it I keep trying to attempt to make this payment online and it's not letting me? And she walked me through it, and I said, there's no space there to put my card number. There's no nothing. She said, it's a setting on your phone. I'll walk you through it. She walked me through this special iPhone setting, and I had to change a couple of settings, and there, voila, appeared the card setting, and I was able to make our payment. And so I was just thinking about it. It's like your settings on your phone. If something is set a certain way, you will automatically, it'll either trigger you to think facts, or it'll trigger you to think, ah, I know how to apply the truth to this. So when you get the settings right on the inside, all of a sudden, nothing touches your heart. Nothing touches. This is one of the things I've told my kids often is don't let it touch your heart. Because it's what Proverbs 4:20 talks about. My son, attend to my words. What does attend means? It's your attention. Focus on it. Look at it. Acknowledge me in all your ways. And so, if we're attending to his words, they're keeping us. They're keeping us safe, right? So that setting has to be on the right setting. So we become so skillful at operating out of faith, the truth, that we recognize the facts when they come, but we hold on to the truth, right? So the skill of faith, that skill of faith helps us stay the course, and we replace the facts with the truth, amen? So when there's little facts, there's much faith. When there's much facts, there's little faith, right? So we have to be careful that we keep it much about the truth and not much about the facts, right? Shift your attention from facts to truth. Facts don't and won't leave. Now, this is important for us to remember. I know there's some Christians that think once you become a Christian that no longer are you going to have to deal with any problems. Life is just a bed of roses, and everything's going to be easy because now you're a Christian, and the Holy Spirit is just going to lead you and guide you all the way up to heaven, and you're just going to have this glorious life. No, you know what makes glorious life glorious? Is where you're setting your attention. The Word of God says it in Colossians, it talks about set your affections or your attentions on things above and not on things of the earth. And there's a reason why it tells us to do that, because there's many things that come at us here on the earth, many things that are vying for our attention and our focus. Why? So it can get us off course. And if you don't think just a little bit off course matters, go ask the captain of Titanic. It matters how set your course is. It matters that you're not off just a little bit. It matters that you're staying the course and your eyes are on the prize. We're pressing toward. That's why it's a press, because there's things that are coming at, but we're pressing forward, right? Because our eyes are on the prize. Amen? Okay. Is this helping you? So let me get this. Facts don't and won't leave your attention or your focus. Your focus needs to change. Your focus. When we had that music coming at us and that sound of that engine coming at us, I thought, okay, don't think about that. Focus on the people. Focus on the presence of the Holy Spirit. Focus on the words. Focus on what we're doing here, on the ministry of what God wants to do here. You have to, like, completely, and I'm sure you guys do this big time with your job, with, you know, putting needles in people's arms. You can't be, you know, moving around and laughing. You got to be really focused on what you're doing to get it right, right? I hope. So faith doesn't mean circumstances leave you alone. Conditions come, issues will come, but your attention is what changes everything. Acknowledging him in every moment. Acknowledge him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, all your ways, in all your ways of healing, in all your ways of financial issues, in all your ways of relational issues, in all your ways of job issues, in all your ways of believing God for family members to come to the Lord, all those ways you're acknowledging him. And guess what? He will direct our paths. Amen? So the facts come, but they're not worthy of my attention. They're not worthy of your attention. What's worthy of your attention? He is. Amen. The truth of the word is. Amen. So you know your faith life is increasing and is stronger when the facts mean very little to you and you are not moved by them anymore. And the truth means everything to you. You're having faith issues when your facts are large in your attention, and then your tongue is then hooked up. And that's a whole other teaching that I'm not going into, but your tongue is hooked up with your attention. And then your tongue starts going off on what your attention's on. You've got to keep your tongue hooked up with the truth of the word. Amen. So facts can put you somewhere, but truth has raised you up to a better place. Facts can put you somewhere, and it's not probably going to be a pleasant place, but truth will raise you. We've been raised up and seated in heavenly places, right? So you choose to allow what's large and in charge to have your attention. How many know sometimes what's large and in charge in your circumstances, your situation, gets your attention? You know what I'm saying? You got a bad report, or you need to pay a bill and you don't have enough money. Those things can all become large and in charge. But, you know, and it's important that we don't get our focus on the things that are vying. You can almost feel it above your head. It's like, hello, hello, hello. I want your attention. I want your attention. And it's like, no, I'm going to set my affections on things above. I know there's a, how many have seen that Disney movie, if you do Disney at all, Inside Out? It was a while ago, and it was about emotions. Y'all know which one I'm talking about? And, you know, at first I thought it was kind of a cute movie. The movie was about these emotions. There was the yellow one was joy. There was sadness, anger. Anger was red, of course. Fear and disgust. Those were the I don't know what they were. They were animals. They were, what were they? Characters, yeah, that represented each emotion. And we went to go see, what was the movie we saw with the women? Cabrini, thank you. And they showed, there's a new one coming out. It almost made me mad. Because their new emotions are this. And this is what they're introducing to our children. The new emotions are anxiety, envy, boredom, and embarrassment. Come on. I'm just like, okay, we're not seeing that movie. I cannot believe what they're introducing to our children. You know why people are dealing with anxiety and fear and embarrassment and boredom? Because their mind is set on things like that. And of course, we're feeding it through the internet, feeding it through movies like this. And so now it's got a big place in their heart and their mind. And they're becoming what, as a man thinks, so is he, the word says. So the focus is now on that. And it's become such an issue. You know, we're raising kids. We've raised our kids to acknowledge the truth. You know, when Braden was first born, I thought, oh, good, I get a second chance. You know, second time around, I get to do it. Not that I did it wrong the first time. My kids are great. Our kids are great. But I thought, gosh, this little guy is fresh and new, and what I put into him is what he knows, you know, what we put into him. And I felt like I had this gift that I had to be very careful with. And I remember everything he would say to me, I would redirect him to the word and what God said about him. And I remember the first time he got hurt, I'd say, in Jesus' name, I used to say this with kids, in Jesus' name, no pain, no hurt. And so, and you know, what do we do when kids get hurt? We tend to just, oh, let's get a Band-Aid. And oh, it's, you know, we start to, and I'm not saying that, you know, babying them is not a bad thing, but we get all emotional about things and we start to lean in on, oh, let's run and get medication. Let's run and do, instead of first going to the word and saying, well, let's pray for that first. You see what I'm saying? I'm not coming against medicine, but I'm saying, let's pray for this first. Let's get you to God first. Get your faith turning towards the truth first, and then we'll get a Band-Aid and put it on it, right? And so it's training them to learn how to go to the truth first so that they're not being led by their emotions. You get what I'm saying? The emotions try to rule us and reign us. And how are we ruling and reigning? We rule and reign not in the soulish realm. We rule and reign in the spirit. And the soulish realm is what's vying for our attention and our focus. What happens when you have a bill that is huge and you can't pay it? You get that feeling in your gut like, oh my goodness. How? And you start talking, your tongue's hooked up, and you start saying, how am I going to do? You start asking the questions. How am I going to do it, God? Where are you? How do we get to this place? What, you know, and the emotions, the soulish realm starts to rise up. Instead of the spirit man saying, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. That's the truth. The facts are I have a bill here. Facts are I don't have any money in the account. The truth is my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. I don't know how it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. We got to go to the truth first. Don't go to the facts first. Go to the truth first and then deal with the facts with the truth. So many times we go to the facts first. You get what I'm saying? Okay. So our attention is anchored on the truth, not the facts. We sang about it tonight. There is a truth for every fact. Every fact you're dealing with, there's a truth. Facts are not eternal, but the truth is. It never changes. We are authorized to change our circumstances based on the blood of Jesus and on our righteousness. It's not our own righteousness, because our own righteousness is as filthy rags, but he made us righteous because of what we just celebrated this past weekend. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen? So we don't address the facts until you have the truth on it. You find out what the Word of God says about your circumstances. Many try to address the fact first. Bring the truth to the facts. You have to choose truth first and act like the Word is true. Choose truth first. So if you get a bad report about your body, choose truth first. What does the Word say about your body? What does the Word say about your healing? What does it say about the blood of Jesus? It's the first place we go, and then we do what we need to do to get through to the other side, right? Till the manifestation is there. So don't, I already said that. Okay, so the delay, this is really good. The delay of acting or applying the truth is a delay of your victory. The delay of applying or acting on the truth, this is for physical things, this is for relational things, this is financial things, this is job things, believing God for kids to come back to the Lord, all these things. The delay of acting on the truth, the Word of God, is a delay of your victory. What are you saying? When someone comes up to me and says, would you believe God with me for blah, blah, blah? I say, well, what are you standing on? What scriptures are you believing God for? That's what my pastors have always done to me. When I go to them and say, I've got this need, I'm feeling overwhelmed by this. Well, what are you believing God for? What scriptures do you have that you're speaking over your circumstances? And I'll believe with you. Because if you haven't even gotten in the Word to find out what the Word says about your circumstances, you haven't even moved towards the answer. And you're not going to get the answer unless you're moving towards it and applying it to your life, right? And this is what a mature Christian does. We don't wallow in our misery, right? We don't wallow in our lack. We don't wallow in, and I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm not one of those emotional moms that I'm like, okay, buck up. How are you going to get a change? Because if I just wallow in your emotion right now, there's not going to be any change. On the way, I'm going to tell him Braden today. I picked him up from school and he goes, Gigi, I think I have ADHD. I said, no, you don't. I couldn't believe he said it. I said, no, you don't. I said, he got my whole sermon because I've been already been ready. And he goes, can I say something? I go, no, I'm not done. Of course, he got my whole sermon about it. I said, who told you that? He said, well, listen to where he got this info from, the internet. He said, they say that if you can't focus in school and then you go home and get a bad grade and then you feel bad about it and your parents are going to beat you or make you feel bad. I go, do I beat you? No. Do I even, I don't even swat him. It's like, I feel bad. I'm past that. Anyway. I said, where'd you get that piece of evidence or whatever, lie? Yes. Well, the internet. I said, that's the problem. You're making decisions based on what you're feeding on instead of feeding on the Word of God. And the Word of God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The greater one lives on the inside. And of course, I gave him the whole spiel. And so you see how the enemy works, even young with our kids. That's why we got to train them up, y'all. We got to train them up. Can't be led by their emotions. Goodness, I made him cry even. I was kind of rough. I'm like, stop crying. That's not who you are. I said, we don't wallow in our misery. That's not who you are. And he stopped. Then he apologized later, came back to me and said, I'm sorry for saying that. I'm sorry for believing that. I'm sorry. See, it paid off. All right, y'all, don't think bad of me. All right. Christians, just because you're a Christian, you still have facts that come. We don't get a pass, right? But we learn how to deal with them, right? So the less I think about money, the better it is. And guess what? I have a lot of things to think about. We have two households to pay for, not just my own, but this one. And I could really be blasted in the face by the lack thereof. I mean, Friday we had one person give online and one person here. Of course, I know people have said they're giving still, but I'm just saying, and I know people give bulk amounts, and I'm not omitting you give certain times, but I'm just saying, if I looked at that, I'd be like, oh goodness, how are we going to pay the bills? But the less I look at money, Now, we attend to things. We're careful. We, you know, we have an account. We have things in place. But the less I look at it and think about it, the better off I am, because it doesn't get magnified in my mind. I just keep speaking the truth over the finances, the truth over the income, the truth over what God says about our situation, and I just trust him. It's so much easier to trust him when you're not wrestling with lies. Right? It's embracing the truth instead of wrestling with the lies. Okay, so the more you think about money, sickness, all those things, the less you focus on the truth and the harder it becomes. People struggle with finance issues because they think about it all the time. Money can change in a day. My kids can get in my purse and it changes the next day, right? That's the way it happens. What we want to manifest is what we focus on. I can't read my own writing. Sorry. What? It's true, isn't it? Yes, yes, they do. Not so much anymore, but they used to. So listen, when I was studying this, I saw a little snippet of something that I wanted to just slip in here. Oh gosh, we're past eight. Are you guys good for just a little bit more? Because this part is really important. And I'm only halfway through my notes, but this is important. It's a connection, what I'm talking about here with the truth versus the facts, it's a connection to your identification. And the way I see this is, when you're having an identity crisis, it disables you to believe who God made you to be, to have what he said you can have, and what he's paid for on the cross. You see what I'm saying? So Jesus paid a price for you to be who you are, to have what you can have, and do what you can do. But if there is a disconnect with your identity, if there is a question of your self-worth, your self-image, there's self-doubts, there's self-focus, there's selfishness, all these things. All other religions, one religion that we know of, they believe in self-flagellation, beating, because you're not worthy. Let's get rid of you. But Jesus came to make you worthy. We weren't worthy, but he came to make us worthy. He came, and now we're created in the image of God, and that old man has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So the new me is able to do this. The new me is equipped. The new me is qualified. I don't have to become qualified. I am qualified in him. I am more than enough through him, not through myself, but through who I'm become in Christ. And so when my focus is on myself, my self-worth, I start doubting who I am. I start doubting my ability. I start doubting what I'm capable of. I start doubting what God's called me to do, what he's called me to be, what he's called me to have. That's a big one right there. What happens is it denies our worth and our value. And that worth and value is who we are in Christ. It's not who we are on our own, but it's who we are in Christ. And so when we acknowledge him in all of our ways, we acknowledge him in who we are. We can't acknowledge who we are without acknowledging who he is in us, right? So we acknowledge his word. In all of our ways, we can receive healing. In all of our ways, we receive direction. In all of our ways, I acknowledge him. I receive breakthroughs financially. I receive relational breakthroughs. I receive stronghold breakthroughs. I acknowledge him in all my ways, and he brings the provision my way. Amen? So in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct. Let me get this to you. What you're acknowledging is what is directing you. What you're acknowledging is what is directing you. If you're acknowledging lack in your life, then that lack is directing your focus. It will rule you. It will reign over you. If you're acknowledging your lack of healing, if you're acknowledging, and I know pain is a deal. I get it. I've been through some things this past year myself. And I think, man, this is, you know, when your body is shouting out, it's difficult at times. But when you start speaking the word, when you start covering those facts with the truth, and you start seeing a manifestation of it, you understand that the truth prevails, and it is greater than the facts. And that's where the word of God comes in. And there's a release of your faith. Like I said in the very beginning, when faith is released, there's a release of power. And the power is released into your life. And that power, that dynamic in its workings, can come in and make a change, make a difference in your life in every way. You get what I'm saying? So what you're acknowledging is what is directing you. You're actually serving it. and what you're serving is Lord over you. It becomes your boss. So what is boss in your life? Who is boss in your life? What has got your focus? What are you talking about the most? What are you acknowledging? Who are you acknowledging? What in your life is greater or bigger than God himself? Is there something in your life that is occupying your mouth and your talk and your time when you're sitting at the table with each other and you're focused on something? Whatever those things are, that's your boss. And the Word of God talks about you're a servant. In Romans 6, it says, you're a servant to whom you obey. And if you're obeying that voice in your life, you're serving it. And you're not serving him. Because like I said, you can't serve facts and truth at the same time. You have to serve one or the other. And so if you're serving your facts, if you're serving your lack, you're talking about it, trying to figure stuff out, the Word says, lean not on your own understanding. We have to acknowledge him so he can show you how to do stuff. He'll direct your path. He'll show you what to do. Maybe there's a simple adjustment, a simple thing that he'll show you. We've had that spoken over us twice prophetically, that there's an adjustment. There's an adjustment. Okay, well, what is it? What is it? You know, when you get an adjustment with a chiropractor, that small adjustment can make a whole bunch of change in your life. Things just function better. There's no more popping and craziness going on, and the aches and pains are gone. But that adjustment is necessary for you to operate smoothly. All right. Let me make sure I'm at a good stopping point here. If you entertain it, you give place to it. In your thought life, in your soul. And if it gets into your soul, then it's harder to get rid of. You have to pay attention to what you're paying attention to. How do you get rid of it? You speak to it. You speak the word. You speak the truth. And you acknowledge him. You replace it. You replace the facts with the truth of the word so that you're in control of it again. Your spirit man is in control. Take it back. And no pastor or friend can do this for you. They can help. You can go through a line and get something broken off of you, but you have to maintain it. You have to carry it through, right? Because you're the one in control. And the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He's not going to prevail over your will. He's only going to do what you allow him to and what you're wanting him to do. And so I think this is a good place for us to say, Lord, you know, there's something wonderful about repenting, of trying to carry things on our own.